When you go to the movies, you're expecting an ultra-sensory experience, but one of those senses is assuredly your sight. What if instead you walk down the aisle of a theater and were handed a blindfold with the expectations that you wouldn't be watching a movie at all, but rather experiencing it mostly through sound?
Is the deletion progressing?
If you have never seen the light, how can you tell when it is dark?
That's a great part of the premise of what's being called an ear film. The feature itself is titled To Sleep, To Dream, and it's being screened at Mesa Arts Center through Sunday. With me to talk about the film and its goals are Daniel Marcus Clark, founder of Ear Films, producer Danny Evans, and spatial sound director Chris Timpson. Daniel, I'll start with you. How would you describe this concept?
Essentially, it's a radio play on steroids. It's the simple way of describing it. As an audience member, you come into the space and put on a blindfold and sit inside a dome of 22 speakers. So you're sort of surrounded in the story. And with the 3D sound, it affords us the opportunity to create a really immersive experience. So rather than listening to something that's happening in front of you or away from you, you're listening to things that are happening all around you.
Why would we want to experience that?
I don't know.
No, but why did it appeal to you?
I think it was really an idea that appealed to us because we wanted to find a format that really empowered people's imagination. And obviously, in the history of audio production, there was a sort of golden era for radio, a time when, you know, there'd be nothing in the house other than the wireless, and people would sit around and you'd have that space to be immersed in it. But I guess in this society, in the place that we're at, and obviously that harks back to the old storytelling tradition as well. Yeah. But now with all these technologies, with all these distractions we had, it seemed that firstly, technology was our ally in so much as we could actually create an experience that was fuller and richer. But also technology was our enemy because it was a distraction for people. And so we decided to come up with this idea where we're placing people in the sound, but also blindfolding them so they could fully focus and sort of trick their mind into believing they were actually there.
I'd like to have one of you describe the blindfolds, because these didn't look like real traditional blindfolds to me.
No, they're not. They are based on a beautiful design by a company called Mindfold, and they have foam cutouts on the inside where you can have your eyes open and still be in complete darkness. And what that affords you is a dark space for yourself to either open your eyes or close your eyes, but still be inside the experience and with your own images and with your own sensations from the film.
Chris, how important are the types of sounds? When I hear 22 speakers, I feel like that's a lot of sound. So in just the experience of the sounds, are there certain sounds that stood out to you as far as even being the most impactful on an audience?
There's over 10,000 tracks of audio, and it was a huge job to put it together. Because the show experiences, it's based around dreaming, we had a lot of freedom in terms of the types of sound we could use, because essentially we could choose to go anywhere in the development of the story and how we then adjust that through sound. So there's a lot of kind of use of water sounds, which is, very kind of powerful sound for the human body. We play with different frequencies. If there's sounds that we want people to really feel, then obviously using lower frequency sounds, they actually feel the vibrations more. Overall, we're just creating this very kind of rich, immersive soundscape that you sit within. So it's kind of like a big sonic sculpting tool.
Often people listen to podcasts now, yeah, and they've got their earbuds in, and that's a very solo experience. Mm. So I would think, well, do you need to have other people around you? And yet with a group, you can almost, even if you're not hearing a reaction, you're kind of feeling a reaction. Based on where you guys have shown the film before, do you feel like the audience is almost together in a way that an audience with its eyes open wouldn't be?
Yeah, very much so. There's a very strange, unspeakable thing that happens in a room when we perform the show. And there is a sort of this sense, it sounds very esoteric, but this sense of a collective imagination. And often afterwards, we allow people to share drawings and talk about their experience. And there does seem to be sort of connections between audiences of what they experience and how it impacts them. So yeah, it's fascinating for us because it's something we don't know from a scholarly basis. We don't know how it works or why it works, but there's something about being in a room together and all collectively imagining together.
It's rare to be in a space where you can have collective listening experiences. And so that's what we're really about, is finding ways. It's deeply personal because you have a blindfold on, you're in your own world, but to do it and dream it together is the added value of being in an Ear Films experience, I feel.
Do you think as creative people that in order to really let your imagination go, there has to be a safe space, because you don't want, because imagination is supposed to be something that is sort of far-reaching and not restricted by rules.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was trying to think, well, could it be dangerous and you could still release your imagination? And, you know, maybe there's ways that your imagination gets sparked in different ways to right. problem solve your way out of those things, and it can be exciting to do it.
Well, because my thought, if we're a dangerous situation, as human beings, maybe fear comes first before mm-hmm. imagination. And this way, if you're relaxed, maybe imagination, you know, fear is way down here then.
So. Definitely. Like when we were actually crafting the audience experience that happens around the show, we spend a lot of time and care on bringing the audience in. We bring people in groups of 20. We prepare. We've got, like, through doing the show a lot, we've found out all of the different kind of like little psychological nuances and fears that people have about coming into a space, about putting on a blindfold, about where their belongings are going to go. Is something going to get stolen from under their chair? And so we just try and we speak to all of those small fears that would prevent people from relaxing. Or also just, you know, you've had a busy day and you've been on your phone all day, or there's dramas going on at home. Like, how do you bring people into that space where they feel calm and present enough to be able to release into the experience? And so much of that is to do with providing safety and making them feel both that the experience is safe, but also that they're really allowed to sink into mm-hmm. it. And that's been a whole journey in itself, just devising that part of it.
My imagination can be at its most potent when I'm fearful, actually.
Okay.
But I think with this show, we've been to a few other shows where you're kind of forced into darkness to experience a sound experience through headphones or through something else. And when I've been to those shows, I've been completely distracted by not trying to freak out. By trying not to freak out, because I find that very uncomfortable. So I think, yeah, for this, we found that really worked, that people kind of have the option to take the eye mask off if they want to kind of check in with the room and things. And it just seemed to be the best way to allow people to really not get distracted and just really commit to the story.
Yeah. The last thing is sort of about the plot. Why did it seem like a good fit for what you guys were doing with an ear film?
Imagining the world's been hit by a flood, and there's one city left standing. And essentially we're looking at a society where dreaming's outlawed, sort of paralleling in a way the journey of audience members coming in so much as slowly the main character starts to begin and rediscover dreaming. So it's a kind of, in a way, it's a love song to the imagination.
For me, you know, one of the main things that I was interested in when we started the project was, you know, feeling very addicted to the internet and very kind of bombarded by visual entertainment.
Yeah, the film, you know, is essentially about dreaming and the discovery of dreaming and the imagination to be able to guide your journey to a more hopeful and better world. So with that, we're also giving the audiences an opportunity and experience to do that. And I was just reflecting back on the previous question and thinking about this difference between a dangerous experience or a safe one. And actually, you know, there's lots of moments within the film where you feel tension. There's urgency, or there's fear induced through what's happening to the main character. And I think that there's something different about this. So instead of it happening to you, you'll have an opportunity in a safe space to become a witness to the fear and be immersed inside what's going on in the film, but also slightly removed, because you know you're in a safe space in a chair with a blindfold on, essentially, and you're being taken somewhere in your imagination. So I think the relationship between the plot and the actual experience you're having is really important. As I said, whether it was... I think somehow we were all pulling a thread to find a way to integrate a very immersive, hyperreal experience with a story that would match it. And they fit hand in hand together.
Producer Danny Evans, spatial sound director Chris Timpson, and Daniel Marcus Clark, founder of Ear Films. We've been talking about their film To Sleep, To Dream. It's at Mesa Arts Center through Sunday.